we open up the hour by welcoming back to the program a talented actor that you've seen in countless television shows and films. Of course, Newhart, True Blood, Deadwood, movies like Blade Runner. Well, so many that it would take the whole show just to list them all. He's the author of a wonderful memoir, Yes, I'm That Guy, The Rough and Tumble Life of a Character Actor. We are so happy to welcome back to the program our friend William Sanderson. Bill, thanks for being with us.
Oh, thank you, and it's a real honor. The second time, you know.
How have you been?
Once, but to get twice.
This is your fourth time with us, Bill.
Oh, my gosh, see? Well, I meant to preface everything. When you're old, a lot of times you say dumb things. It's even a bigger honor. I just wanted to see if you were alert.
Well, I'm barely alert, and believe me, you don't have to be old to make mistakes.
Fourth time.
It is, yeah. Well, we love having you on the program. First of all, how are you handling this whole quarantine social distancing situation?
Well, cabin fever is the shortest I could say, you know. And how about yourself, before I forget, and your family?
Yeah, you know, we're doing pretty well. We're hunkered down. The only time I leave the house is to come here to the radio station. We have a very minimal crew, so I don't come into contact with too many people here. Yeah, we're trying to be positive and make the most of it, but we've had better weather here lately, and that helps a little bit.
Oh, good. Congratulations. So many people are hurting, but I saw your dog on Instagram. I'm doing everything I can to start listing my dropping names. Ginger?
Ginger, yes, indeed, yes. She'll be happy to know that you're a fan.
Well, yes, but I'm leading up what else do actors do to what they want to talk about. I got a promotion. Unfortunately, my mother-in-law passed away, but we promised her we'd take care of her dog. So I'm the dog walker now.
Well, that's fantastic.
Oh, she's a great dog, and brings so much enjoyment. But anyway, I probably stepped on your line.
No, not at all. I wanted to ask you, though. Now, you posted on social media recently your retirement, that you had left the building. So what does that mean?
Well, I always wanted to be Elvis, but now I retired from Facebook, not from life, I hope. It's just we still have Instagram. I find it hard with all the tragedy in the world to put up pictures of myself and so forth, but it just became a little too much, and anybody that looked at it, I thank them for their comments and posts, and I want to thank you. Well, I'll wait to see if you mention it. There's a specific thank you, but the road is getting more narrow for me. Like, I can still get things done. It just takes longer.
Sure. So, but you haven't retired from acting. If somebody came along with a great part, would you still take it?
The best I can say, if it's an offer, I can't refuse. I have some scripts, but a lot of independent films, and I have to turn them down. They'll probably be the next Spielberg or something. But the last one I can remember is Ian McShane, who was a wonderful villain on Deadwood, asked me to be on his show in Canada called American Gods, a cameo. But I got through it, and, you know, I couldn't say no to him.
Well, no, you guys worked together so well on Deadwood and on American Gods. You know, we had Julia Duffy on the show a few weeks ago, and we were talking about some of our favorite Newhart episodes, and one that came up was the episode when your character Larry decided that he wanted to marry Miss Stephanie.
Oh, my goodness. She is a wonderful actress and has a book out about auditioning, and I miss her. You know, you talk about inspiration. She just never missed a line. She stayed in character, and I'm flubbing lines left and right. But luckily, we had great editors.
Well, and that cast was so deep and so talented, and obviously starting with Bob Newhart, but everybody, your brothers who never got to say a line, but, and you've told us before, they were trained stage actors and so brilliantly talented and able to create characters that had levels of depth without any dialogue.
Yeah, Tony Pappenfuss, and who lives in Minnesota now, and John Volstead lives in South Carolina. But can I introduce them in case there's somebody driving or more likely at home? Can I introduce them, even though they won't say anything?
Please.
I used to
please.
Out. May I?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hi, I'm Larry. This is my brother Daryl, and this is my other brother Daryl. And I based him on the town crazy, and I thought it was a one-shot deal, but thank goodness it lasted a while. Great to have a regular job. I've said it before.
Well, and the character grew, all three of the characters grew so much, and you really became an integral part of the series as time went on.
Yeah, I made Bob eyebrows raise on the West Coast of Paley. they invited us out there, and some reporter in the audience said, "Well, how many times were you in the show?" And I said, "Not enough." And he looked at me like, that's the most arrogant thing I ever said in his presence. But it's like, how many times have you been in love? Not enough. But I love Bob Newhart, and he's as bright as any actor I ever worked with, counting background. He's a vet, a grandfather, and probably soon be a great-grandfather. I think he's 90 now and doing well as far as I know.
You know, we haven't talked with you in the times you've been on before about your work with John Candy in his last film.
That was a dream, and unfortunately he died a few scenes before the end of the film. It was called Wagons East. It was a very funny script. He was a kind man. He was funny, and he was very gracious when Sharon and I got married. He commented on that. My agent said, "Don't go to Mexico. It's pilot season, and there's not a lot of money." And I wanted to go to Mexico, where John Wayne used to shoot all those westerns. And Sharon went with me, and I'm glad I did. But it wasn't long after I got back, I had to sell my house. But, you know, we had a lot of ups and downs. Will you let me mention the book that I published before you cut me off?
Oh, you better believe it, because we love the book. Talk more about Yes, I'm That Guy.
The rough and tumble life of a character actor. Well, John's picture is in it. I think a wonderful picture of Sharon, my wife, and me. And I forget why I wanted to. There's a number of projects. I can't remember why. Oh, I wanted to thank you for the nice review you gave me. And
if
anybody is interested, they can go to just Amazon and put in "Yes, I'm That Guy," and your great review is there, and I'm reading it right now. I read it from time to time.
Well, I'm looking at the pictures in the book here too, and remembering up another movie we haven't talked about. I love this movie so much that you made with Bill Campbell, The Rocketeer. Oh. What a wonderful movie that was.
Well, it's gained a following, and they had high hopes for one of those. It's one where I might be down the pecking order, but I was in good company, and Bill Campbell's a terrific actor as well as an artist, and he may be living in Nova Scotia now. There's a, that's how much he's worried about it. But he works in Canada, and he works a lot. And it was a pleasure to work with. Alan Arkin was in it, and he got my part of the mechanic, but what are you going to do? The Academy, if you lose a part to an Academy Award winner, it's okay. And thank you for mentioning that.
That's one of those movies, that and Blade Runner, that have just developed a real strong cult following. Maybe weren't as successful at the theaters as the producers would have liked, but they've had long legs. What do you think helps a movie generate that type of following?
Well, I guess me. I guess it's all about me. I've been both of them. No, I was the least worthy. But Blade Runner, they said that life became sort of like that with the riots in L.A. And I don't see any flying cars yet, but I don't know, except that people call it a cult classic, and it's nice to be Blade Runner in a cult film. And I don't know. And certainly it turned things around a little bit. I'd played a lot of bad guys and certainly a lot of idiots, if you will. But he was a genetic engineer and a genius type with 2 hours of latex makeup. And, of course, we had Harrison Ford in it, in the movie, and he was one of the hottest. But I hope I live a lot longer. Maybe something else that didn't do well will return.
We're talking with William Sanderson. You've worked a lot through the years with Tommy Lee Jones, and he comes up a lot in your book. He's an interesting fellow, to say the least.
Oh, he really is, and I better interject that I'm not so perfect myself. I left out a lot of stuff, but Tommy is a Harvard graduate, of course, and is an All-American football player, and he plays like he's just a good old boy, you know, Al Gore's roommate, and I was supposed to do a seventh project with him, Batman, and director John Frankenheimer, who passed away, wouldn't let me out of the rehearsal. So I wanted to work with Val Kilmer a second time and see the fireworks between Jim Carrey and Tommy Lee, you know. I don't know if you've read about that.
Oh, yes.
Tommy's directing me. He likes to direct the other actors, you know, and he was directing me and Coal Miner's Daughter, and I've thought about it for 30, 40 years, and he was probably right. I should have said the line the way he told me to say it. I used to say, if you're born in the mountains, you got three choices, coal mine, moonshine, or moving on down the line. And I didn't say it like that, but Tommy wanted me to say it a different way, and he was right. But I was determined. I thought I was Bob Dylan at the time, and you got to go with what's inside you. But he still he doesn't call me anymore, but he claims he's my friend.
What's been the most surprising part of your year, or of your career?
The corny, or paying myself a compliment, what a nice question, the longevity, or that I'm still alive, you know. In the book, I put my oldest friend and college roommate said I should bow down on my knees and thank God for sending my wife Sharon to save my life. So the most surprising thing is that I'm still alive. My brother, Vietnam vet, he died after he got out of the Army. But my mother and father, I'm 76, and as Keith Richards said, glad to be anywhere.
Well, you've been with your wife, Sharon, now for nearly 30 years, and you had challenges in your upbringing that you talk about very openly in the book. There were times when you were your own worst enemy as a young man. Was it hard for you to adjust to having something as good in your life as Sharon?
It still is. But I try to make a joke and say she's very smart. I hope she doesn't leave me. But I don't want to give her so much credit, you know. That I looked that word up, uxorious or something, giving too much credit. But you know, she was there to protect me from myself, and it's not an easy job. But I haven't drank in some time. Now I'm gonna put your listeners to sleep. Straight, white, old, and don't drink. I put them to sleep.
Not at all, because I'm picturing you out walking that dog, living the good life right now.
Well, I do. I've had writers come, a writer come to the house years ago, and he must have been a little disappointed. It was 15 years ago. We're in Pennsylvania, and he's looking for a mansion, and it's not a mansion. But I feel well off, and we have investments, and I do hope people will read the book. You mentioned the early life, and not long, where I lived in a... everybody's got a story, Rich. Have you written your memoir yet?
No one's asked me to, so no.
I'm asking you to.
I don't know if anybody would have much interest beyond you, and you know, maybe my wife would want to hear some of it. I'm not sure. The dog, Ginger,
well,
would love it.
Tobolowsky owes you one. Joanna Cassidy owes you one, buying one, and Julia Duffy. So there's four sales.
There we go. If I charge enough, I can make a little money on this then.
Yeah.
Was that hard for you to tell your story? Because I, you know, I think about even the...
Well, she helped immensely because I was still drinking years ago, and she had the facts. But I had a 900-and-something pages. It's hard. We got a guy named Ray Richmond, who's a critic in Hollywood and an entertainment writer, and he organized it. And I don't know. One reviewer said he must have shed some blood and tears putting it together. But Ray's a good writer, and I'd like to be like Dennis Hopper and say I wrote Easy Rider, every word. Well, you didn't. You didn't write it at all. The real writer was sitting in the room with him. Said, what is this? But I wasn't there, so that's fact-based on hearsay, Rich. Stop me, man. I'm wound up.
No, we love that. Hey, so, do you still listen to Elvis at all?
Yes, now and then, the songs that that I heard when I was a kid, from 11 years old until, and some of the big ones, and when I heard him playing the piano in the house, and that was... I play them, you know. I thought about Elvis because people, years ago, I'd go to an interview and Sharon told me, don't talk about Elvis because they'll know how old you are. But he inspires people. You know, he came from a very poor housing project. And so, I stumbled into acting, but I never forgot how he treated people.
Mm.
His fans, you know. Does it make any sense?
It does. Yeah. No. And I got to think for all the kids that you grew up with, being right there in Memphis. I mean, yeah. How do you look up to anybody more than Elvis at that time when he was at really the peak of his powers?
Yeah. Yeah, and playing football, I was trying to avoid, it's in the book, but playing football with him, and one time I was staring at his limo, and he said, you want to sit down? And I said, well, I don't get it dirty with playing football, you know. And he said, well, if Bardell won't get it dirty, you won't hurt it. I thought that was some greasy friend of his, but it was a business owner, Then I had, when I grew up, I bought a couple of those cars, Fleetwood and stuff. It's just stupid. It's in the book. Trying to emulate Elvis Presley will get you in trouble.
You touched on it.
I have shakedowns, you know. I got popular in Newhart, and you believe your own press. I'm sorry.
you sort of mentioned it right there. As good as his music and was, part of it, I think, Elvis is enduring and wondering if you think the same thing, was his connections with the common fans. You know, he really always seemed to make the effort to connect with people beyond just performing for them.
I think so. And I think so. Let me interject. If anybody's still listening to my monologues, he didn't know me from Adam. And you could say I stalked him. Just sneaking in the amusement park all night rides for his friends and the all night movies, none of which I can hardly remember. I'd sit in the back, and Elvis sit in the middle, and his buddies would sit by him, and when he laughed, they all roared, you know. But I don't even, I got off, I'm not sure I answered your question, but he did care about his fans. He did. Yep. And I was just really sorry to see him pass away so young. It's like losing a parent or something.
Are you surprised when you're back, when we can get back to being out and about and mingling with the public? Does it still surprise you when people recognize you?
Yeah, it doesn't happen as much here in Pennsylvania. Yeah, I have. I don't know. My sister-in-law says, "Oh, they recognize you once you start talking." But I try not to think about it. It's really good to be able to go in sweatpants to pick up something at CVS, or mask or not. You know, luckily we have a few good friends, and we can't go out to eat with them regularly now, so I'm missing that. And there's a church where Sharon's grandfather was the pastor for 35 years. So I missed other older people who are deteriorating at the same speed.
Well, we hope.
Do you? I feel like if I talk over 15 minutes, I'll just put you to sleep.
There's not a chance of that, Bill. You could talk to us all day, and we would be on the edge of our seat.
Thank you. Back at you. But what do I? Did you get the check for that review you wrote?
I did, but I didn't. You know, I didn't cash it because I wanted your autograph, so I just framed
that's
it.
That's right. It's worth more if you don't cash. No, but your longtime listeners ought to go and read that review. It touched me. You got some of the book that other people might not, and I'm thinking it's a lot of things. It's a love story, and my buddies would say, "Yeah, about yourself."
No, you know what I found is that it's a powerful story. It's an uplifting story, and it's inspiring. We said you had some challenges along the way, and you had some demons that you had to battle with, and nothing makes me happier than to see you come out on the other side of all this and find some peace in your life and to get the acclaim from the critics and the fans that you so richly deserve, because character actors don't always get that. But I think people look at your body of work and realize the talent, but also what you brought to every role you've played.
Well, thank you. A lot of actors leave Hollywood not so happy, and they feel that the industry was against them, and show business is hard anyway. Even stars, Larry McMurtry, who wrote Lonesome Dove, said they will pay a toll. He said, "I'm all for stars, but eventually." Robert Frost wrote a great poem called "Provide, Provide." Can I say just a few lines?
Oh, please do.
No. Memory of having starred atones for later disregard or makes the end less hard. But it's about a woman who was very successful once, and then, I'm just happy to be talking to you, and I've got grandchildren, and I'm closer to them now than I was in California. So. But, Who would give you ratings? Cruz? Trump?
Oh, I don't know. We're happy. We're much happier talking to you. But what would you have done if you didn't become an actor? What do you think you would have done?
Oh, I'd love to show off and say an assassin.
I mean, you went to law school. You had that going.
I'm sorry?
You went to law school. Was that?
Oh, I did, but I never took the bar exam. Thank you for mentioning, though. I've thought about it so much because of people, nice people like you, say, "Why did you do this or that?" And I stumbled on acting, is what I've decided, because of a production next door of Hair and a song that I liked from Merle Haggard, and just tons of pretty girls. I thought it was just me, but I talked to somebody the other day who said he got in an acting class and it was 18 attractive ladies, and now he stuck with it, he said.
deprivation
will do a lot, you know. Not many women in the Army or college for me, or high school. Junior high was a star, though.
That's right. I work with high school actors. I direct plays, and when I'm trying to recruit guys, I always say, listen, let me give you the numbers here. Take a look at how many girls are involved in high school theater. The odds are in your favor, young man.
Oh, how interesting. And you're doing something worthwhile. I know you don't play with impressionable people. You're telling them the truth and what you've learned. And acting teachers carry a lot of weight, you know. I think. But you do that, how many times? You do it monthly or weekly?
Oh, we do it. You know, if we're doing a show, we're going just about every day. As a matter of fact, we were in the process of getting ready to start a show when everything shut down back in March.
Oh, yes. That's so typical around, and I know the kids are frustrated. Now, you do musicals and drama? And
yeah, we do both. We were getting ready to do the musical Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Oh, wow. Well, they're lucky to have you. And I think of my acting teacher, William Hickey. I probably mentioned him.
Oh, he wonderful.
Nominated for an Academy Award and Prince's Honor. He's a nice man.
Yes.
And he'd take a drink, too.
Well, Bill, it's always so much fun for us to have the opportunity to talk with you. We're so glad that you made some time for us this afternoon. And please give our best to Sharon and enjoy that time walking the dog as well. And since you're not fully retired, I hope we can have you back on again sometime.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, Lee Marvin said an actor who's not working has nothing to talk about. But I sure did disprove that. Hey, thank you. And four times I'm embarrassed. You know, but you've seen the extent of the problem.
We're looking forward to number five already.
Thank you for both of you. Okay, and take care.
You too. Thank you.
Stay well, please. Bye-bye.
You do the same. That's Bill Sanderson with us here on Downtown. Get his book, Yes, I'm That Guy, The Rough and Tumble Life of a Character Actor, available on Amazon. You'll love it. It really is a terrific read.